You know, you can know a lot about the Creator when you take a look at creation. You know, we know that God is an engineer because of how creation fits together so methodically. In fact, if you're an agnostic or an atheist, if you don't believe there's a God, you certainly see the creation hangs together beautifully with a balance and harmony. There's a rhythm, if you will, to nature. God is an engineer. And at the same time, He's also an artist, because there's things in nature, things in the cosmos that are simply there because they're beautiful to look at. All the different topographies, all the different terrains. And so we know something in looking at creation about our Creator, that He is both an engineer and an artist. We see those rhythms. And when we take a look at all of what we see on our earth, we see rhythms over and over and over again. We know He must be a rhythmic being. We see that the sun revolves. The sun revolves around the sun. The sun revolves. The earth revolves around the sun, giving us our seasons in a rhythmic fashion. The earth rotates on its axis, giving us in a rhythmic ways, night and day. In fact, every day, you and I rhythmically need sleep. Every animal, every created thing needs to sleep. In fact, in a rhythmic way, there are certain ways that the created order reproduces itself in a rhythmic way. Women have a rhythm every single month. Comes like clockwork. I'm glad I don't have that rhythm, but they have it every single month. We live in Cincinnati, and every year we have the rhythm and hopes of a Bengal season crushed for us. There is a rhythm. No, actually, we did okay last year, but nonetheless, there's that hope. And see, so when we see in all of creation that there are rhythms, we can see that God values rhythms. And then the next step is to look at what are the rhythms that I actually need to have in my life, that I need to hit like clockwork. A number of years ago, I went down to the Taft Theater, and there was a stand-up comedian, Kevin James, who was giving a performance of King and Queen's fame, and he talks about how annoying it is when someone leaves you a message and there's no rhythm to the message. And when someone calls you, here's the message you want to hear. Hey, this is Brian. I was just calling about XYZ. If you could call me back, that'd be great. My phone number is 513-392-2465. Thank you. Bye. A nice rhythmic, you understand. Versus, hey, I was calling about, I wanted to, honey, put down the kids, would you? I'm sorry. I just was not paying attention there. I wanted to talk to you about the issue we had last week. So if you could call me back, that would be great. 513-292-2455. What is that number, right? Back in the old days, you used to have the tape machines, right? And you actually rewind the tape. What do you say? Wait, I got a five. I got 5, 2, 3. Very annoying. It is annoying when our lives actually don't have a rhythm, don't have a cadence to it. Rhythm makes life work, makes our spiritual lives thrive. Three things about rhythm. Number one, rhythm means we embrace extremes. We embrace extremes. The rhythm of hitting a drum is an extreme. Quiet, noise. Up, down. And there's a pause. This is all about extremes. If there was no extreme, it would be this. Or that. It's about extremes. And we see this in the scriptures where one of the wisest men in the Bible, Solomon, King Solomon, in the book of Ecclesiastes, says this. For everything, there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted. There is a season, turn. This service is the only one who probably knows that song. That's like giving caveman language to the 1145 service. They won't get with that one at all. Look at the extremities here, okay? Birth, death, planting. It's extremes. You have to be comfortable to be an extremist if you want rhythm in your life. Now, I'm not talking about the kind of extremist that does the crazy, awful things that happened in Boston this last weekend. I'm not talking about unhealthy disconnected from the values of God extremist. I'm saying, though, rhythm is all about extremes. See, we tend to want balance in our life. But what would a golf swing look like if there was balance? A golf swing would look this way. If there was perfect balance without any extremes, it would look this way. There it is. I am perfectly balanced. To have a golf game, you must be comfortable with swings of extreme, loading up your right side, following through, shifting to the left, and your follow through. There must be extremes. And similar with our lives, we have to get comfortable having extremes. We think that we can be all on all the time, and we can't be all on all the time. In fact, when we're doing the same thing all the time without any rhythms of back and forth, life doesn't work. Lillian Cunningham, in her Washington Post column, it's actually in the On Leadership section of their website, says this: less than half the people I've interviewed would say they work around the clock out of fear, and more than half would say they do it out of habit. We use work to numb out. We can't turn off our machines because we're afraid we're going to miss something. Exhaustion is not a status symbol. We do this thing, it's this myth, you might have heard of it. It's the myth of multitasking. Doesn't exist. It is neurologically impossible to multitask. We don't multitask, we toggle. You cannot, it is neurologically impossible to be engaged on a phone call and crafting an email at the same time and being paying attention simultaneously to both modes of communication. We toggle back and forth because we're uncomfortable with the extreme of, hey, here's an idea. I'm going to sit at my desk and only listen and talk. Hey, here's an idea. I'm going to be out to dinner with somebody who's important to me and not check my email and not check my thing. We toggle back and forth. We have to get comfortable with the extreme of resting, with the extreme of when we're in a meeting, we are all in a meeting, with the extreme of having certain work weeks that cause people to tell us, you can't work that hard. We have to be willing for the extremes in order for there to be balance in our life. And part of the extreme that's missing for us is the extreme of rest, the extreme of disconnection. You take a look at the life of Jesus. You see Jesus fulfilling and living everything we see in the nature of God being a rhythmic being. He fulfills it and he teaches to it. If you look at the first few chapters of Mark, it's amazing that Jesus rested as much as he did, that he disconnected as much as he did. He is the most productive person the world has ever known. He's had the greatest work ethic the world has ever known. Why do I say that? Because nobody has ever had time dated after them. No one has ever worked hard enough or been fruitful enough to have CE, the Christian era, BC, before Christ, stamped universally on calendars all over the world. No one has ever influenced more governments than Jesus has. No one. No one has ever taught more things that included more pithy sayings that have swept all over the globe and people use who don't even believe in him than him. He's the most fruitful person who ever lived. And look at what happens. Just pick out a few chapters of his life. Let's go, as an example, I'll give you Mark 1 to 5. All the times when he disconnects, removes himself and rests. Mark 2:13, he's alone at the lake before actually teaching. 3:7, he withdraws with his disciples. He goes away with just them. 3:13, he goes up to the mountainside, calls his disciples, gives them and himself a mountaintop experience. 4:35, he leaves the crowds by getting into a boat. Pretty interesting. He uses boats and water regularly to get away from people. He's constantly crisscrossing back and forth over the water. In large part, he's getting away from people. He's getting away from people. Jesus is at the lake. He's at the hillside, Mark 5:21. He crosses the lake to the other side again. Mark 6:45-46, he sends the disciples ahead. He dismisses the crowd, goes to a mountain to pray. This is just some of the things that we see in his life over and over and over again. One of the better known miracles of Jesus is when he walks on water. He walks on water and invites Peter out of the boat to come to him. One of the things that often is missed in that whole story is why the disciples are without Jesus. He gets them in the boat and sends them on ahead. Maybe he's thinking through, hey, I'm going to freak them out in a few hours. I think he's just going, I need my alone time. You people are draining me. You get in there, to go off over there, and I'm going to take a solo walk around the lake. I'll meet you when I get there. He's out praying by himself another time, and people come to him and say, hey, time to work. Time to get to work. We got all these people over here who are looking for you. This is your time in the limelight right now. And he says, oh, okay. Or over there, I must go over here instead. I'm going to leave them here, and I'm going to go over here. He has this amazing rhythm to his life, and we have to get comfortable with extremes in order to have rhythm. Number two, rhythm is about scheduling values. There's something in the value that God has in creation that these things come around like clockwork. They're scheduled. It's like he's got a calendar where they're scheduled. Whatever you want your life to be about, whatever you feel is important, you must be able to pin it to a schedule. Pin it to a schedule. There's three things I want in my life. I want to have a full and light heart. I want a functional family that's thriving. And I want to have a fruitful life that's multiplying itself. Those three things, I should have things that relate to those that I could pinpoint on the calendar. I have to actually schedule them, say, there it is. See, our society will do nothing for us in helping us have rhythm. Nothing. It used to be that society would help us a little bit on the rest side, on the detachment side. When I grew up back in the 70s in Pittsburgh, there was a crazy thing that would happen on Sundays. You couldn't buy anything. Everything shut down. Everything shut. In fact, after church, if we wanted to go eat someplace, there was two places we could go that had food. One of them was a bar. It's the only time my parents would ever go to a bar. Bob's Inn in Murrysville. Because people were actually very smart back then. They were smarter in the 70s. All the business owners said this. Said, hey, guys, people only have so much money to spend and buy our products. So instead of spreading it out over 7 days, let's do it over 6 days. We'll make the same amount of money every week, but we'll also not have to pay employees for a week, and we'll give everybody a life. That was just smart. That was just absolutely smart. And I'm not saying from a religious standpoint, oh, it's awful that people are working on the Sabbath. That doesn't bother me at all from a religious standpoint, from a spiritual standpoint. I'm just saying from a cultural standpoint for us, we have to recognize nothing in our culture is going to help us get rhythm. Nothing in our culture is going to help us unplug. Nothing in our culture is going to help us rest. We have to take control of our life and our schedules and schedule it. Schedule it. John 15, verse 4, Jesus has these extremes he invites his disciples to come into, and as we'll see in a moment, they're scheduled. 15:4, he says this, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. So we have two extremes here. We have the abiding, resting, in a relationship with Jesus, and we have the fruit-bearing, the productivity side, the work side. I abide in, and I produce fruit. And Jesus is actually giving in a bit more of a pithy way what happened in the book of Genesis when men and women received their marching orders from God of how we were to live rhythmically. God goes through in a rhythmic nature. He creates all of creation. Whether you want to believe it's 24-hour literal days or those are six long epics, whatever I'm saying is it's rhythmic. It's a rhythm. Day one, God created light, and it was good. Day two, God separated, and it was good. And it goes on. And day six, God created man and woman. God creates man and woman. And day six, and here's the vision statement, the mission statement that's given to you and I. Be fruitful and multiply. So God creates human beings to get stuff done. He creates us to replicate our lives. That's part of why we did the Return on Investment series. We're meant to be reproduction-oriented, to multiply ourselves. So check this out. He says to Adam and Eve, your mission is to have the extreme of being fruitful, multiplying. So day seven, this is their first full day on earth. They get up like, okay, let's go. I got to get ready. Rest. Day seven, God rests from his labors. So on day six, men and women are created. Their first full day, they do nothing. What do we learn here? We learn that God rests from his work. Not that he even needed a rest. He never gets tired. He rests from his work, in part because he's modeling a rhythm. He rests from his work. But really, human beings, our first day is rest, which shows us that we're a human being, not a human doing. Our first day of rest is rest. And so what do we, instead of resting from our work, what do? We rest to work. We rest to work. This is, again, totally opposite from our society. We look at rest as something you have to earn, and you only earn it when you're totally worn slap out. Well, places we work, you have to earn your vacation time, which part of that is healthy. I mean, we do that here with people who are employees. Part of that is wise. But we don't actually earn our rest time. No, we rest to work. We don't rest from work. We shouldn't go into our rest time so worn slap out that, oh my goodness, I have to do nothing because I'm totally worn out. Sometimes visuals are helpful for this. I'm going to give you a visual right now. People said the last series, gosh, whenever you wrote on a whiteboard, you really look smart. That's good. I'm going to do this more often then. So, okay, so I got a semicircle here, and imagine in the middle of this is a pendulum. And this pendulum swings back and forth. On the two extremes in our schedule, the two extremes would be rest, which we just saw, and work. Or, as Jesus put it in John 15, abide and fruit. And so the secret to having a life of impact, having a life of fruitfulness, being able to be connected with God, is catching this rhythm right between work and between rest. It must swing. It must swing. Some of the most hardworking, smartest, most gifted, and talented people I know have an abysmal lack of fruit. If you look at their lives over the last several years or something like that, there's just not. And part of the reason is they refuse to get into a rhythm where they actually rest so they have any momentum to create fruit. Rhythm, life's all about rhythm. You know, to throw a punch, how do you throw a punch? You're back and you throw your punch through. You force all your weight and you push it through. And here's the way some people, and you want to throw multiple punches, what do you have to do? Fruit, rest, push, rest, push. And here's how many people are living their lives. Some of these people I'm talking about, they throw a punch like this, and they want to throw another one, and they're going. You can get absolutely no power if you don't have a rhythm to your punch. No power at all. In fact, some of us feel really guilty about having a whole week off. Gosh, I talk to people who just say with a sense of pride, who are 60 years old. I've never taken 2 weeks off. Why? If you had a job where you never could, boy, that's a bummer for us. But why? I mean, some of us can't do that because of where we are in stage in life and stuff. That's fine. But when you dig on that, it's like a pride thing. It's a pride thing. No, I can't take that. Here's the deal. You can only produce the amount of fruit that you have a backswing. The bigger the backswing, the greater the swing will be to get fruit. Your backswing is only commensurate with the number of fruit you have. If you want to drive the golf ball far, what do? You have to have a full backswing. If you don't, it's called a chip shot. If you want chip shot fruit, take a chip shot backswing on rest. And actually, the bigger the mission of your life, the bigger the stuff that you're going out to, the more aggressive your play has to be. The more aggressive your fruit has to be. Now, the nation of Israel had all kinds of things that were scheduled in. They were called festivals. They were festivals that were scheduled in into their lives. Feast of Tabernacles, Feast of Booths, all these things were just, they were rhythmic festivals that people had, and they loved them. They liked them. They brought a respite and a rhythm to their lives. Number three, They would repeat these patterns. Rhythm is about repeating these patterns. Once you hold on to the idea of extremes, once you schedule it, see, I'm going to pin this value to there, then you just got to get into the mode of hitting the same nail, repeating the pattern over and over again. Last week, when we talked to God and said, I want to give a percentage of myself outside of myself, the way that impacts our life and the world is only if we repeat it. That's the only power, if we get into a repeatable pattern. That's why we're pushing really hard to have many of us do e-gift or to put in new disciplines. Because here's the thing, you don't change anything financially as a giver if you give the normal way, which is I give leftovers, right? Because then nothing is left over. The only way you ever become generous is if you get into a rhythmic pattern, you figure out a system that pins to what works for you. It's the only way you do. The only way you can produce fruit in your giving. You cannot produce fruit in your giving if you only give impulsively when something grabs you emotionally. You'll feel better in the moment, but you'll never enable that person or anyone to go ahead unless it becomes rhythmic and systemic. Now, here's what I love about God is he talks about the things like the rhythmic tithe, 10% outside of yourself, and actually completing those things. We also see these little nuggets in the Bible that I just don't hear many preachers talking about. So one of my favorite, most mysterious verses in the Bible comes from the book of Deuteronomy. And the back story is the nation of Israel would bring a tithe, an agricultural tithe. And as I said last week, it's really hard to determine by looking at the scriptures exactly what is the percentage you should give outside of yourself. That's why more and more I feel like the best thing to do is say, what is the percentage that I'm going to rhythmically repeat, and then as a part of our spiritual growth plan, increase that percentage over time? But they had the tithe, and this one specifically was the agricultural tithe. So once a year, if you were a farmer, you would bring a tenth of all your produce, a tenth of your lettuce, a tenth of your squash, all that sort of stuff, to Jerusalem. You would give it to an infrastructure, then would figure out how to distribute it. And the problem was, if you had a lot of produce and you lived a far way away, it would be really hard to bring all that mass, and some of it might rot, actually, by the time you actually get it to the temple. So look what God tells his people that they can do with the tithe in this really weird situation. Deuteronomy chapter 14. And if the way is too long for you so that you are not able to carry the tithe, when the Lord your God blesses you because the place is too far from you, then you shall turn it into money and bind up the money in your hand and go to the place that the Lord your God chooses and spend the money on whatever you desire. Oxen or sheep or wine or strong drink, whatever your appetite craves, and you shall eat there before the Lord your God and rejoice, you and your household. So God says, take this tithe and throw yourself a party. Have yourself a party. Get some wonderful delicacies. Go buy wine, go buy strong drink, which I actually thought wine was strong drink. I guess there's stronger drink than wine. Wine, Mad Dog 2020, Ripple, you know, Jack Daniel, whatever it is. Buy yourself some and have a time of recuperation and rest and enjoyment. Gosh, these people have been slaving, getting their produce ready, and God tells them to take and enjoy the fruit of their labors by having a time of resting and abiding and celebration. Man, there's a lot for us to learn about this. Do you have repeatable patterns where you can identify, here's the place where I disengage. Here's the place where I have frivolous fun. Here's the place where I am unproductive and unreachable. Here's the place where I do something that I would never do in my normal day-to-day lives. Now, when I talk about this stuff, I don't talk about it as a person who has it all figured out. I actually talk about it as somebody who is embarrassed about some of the ways I've chosen to lead my life in the past, and especially in the early days of Crossroads. I was, you know, we start Crossroads as a 30-year-old testosterone-driven guy wanting to make his mark on the world, and I just, you know, just go, you know, work for God, do all this stuff here, build, and it was all that kind of stuff. And I started noticing patterns. a bunch of patterns. One of the patterns I noticed was when it came time for Thanksgiving, I would always be sick. Christmas, I'd start to have the sniffles. And I realized what happened, as I saw this pattern repeating itself, that my body was so void of rest and abiding that as soon as I didn't have to produce, I couldn't produce because ministry stuff was shut down, it's like my adrenal glands went, okay, boys, time to cool it off. And my adrenal glands would shut down, and all of a sudden I was prey to any disease there was, and I would get sick. I saw this over and over and over. I saw patterns of people who were about my stage in life just having fun. I go, fun? What the heck are you doing having fun? People would ask me, do you have any hobbies? I go, hobbies? What am I going to do, knit? I mean, hobbies. Just this idea of having something that was frivolous but recuperative in nature was totally foreign to me. There's a bunch of patterns I noticed with relationships and things like that. So I started scheduling in healthy things to give me rhythm. Now, when I take a look at those three things I mentioned earlier that I want to pin to my schedule, a full and light heart, a functional family that's thriving, and a fruitful, productive multiplication life that's actually bearing fruit, I started seeing and doing different things, embracing things. Just some examples from my life. And these are just things to stimulate you and to have you think through, maybe I ought to do something like that or something different. This is not to say that I do these things all the time perfectly. This isn't to say that you should do all these things or you should do any of these things. Just things to stimulate you, because I'm hoping you come out of here saying, okay, here's one pattern that's extreme that I want to schedule. One pattern. And hopefully things will build over this series and over the course of the next period of your life. So daily, I have daily rhythms. One of my rhythms daily is getting up in the morning and having a time with God. I have a specific section on the couch. Used to be in a chair upstairs, now it's on a section of a couch, where I only sit on that section of the couch in the morning when I'm reading my Bible and when I'm praying. And I'm going through a rhythmic Bible reading plan. I go through the Bible every year. I've done it for about 5 years in a row, this specific plan. I leave a section out of the Old Testament, a section out of the New Testament. And I just sit there and see if God will fill up my heart with minds and a sense of his presence. And I pray. And actually, daily, I actually have group prayer times every day. We actually have at our three campuses, Florence, Mason, and Oakley. There's six different times when you can have a half-hour session of praying and reading through the Psalms. So I do two of them a day, 8:30 to 9 and 9 to 9:30. We pray with a group of people, and we work our ways through the Psalms. So every year, there's 150 Psalms. I'm reading the Psalms and praying them twice a year. It's a healthy thing for me. This is not everyone should do this. It's just for me. It's a healthy rhythm that fills my heart and helps me to be full. Every day we have family dinners. And I say every day, can't do it on Sunday night. Or actually, no, we can't do it. We can't do it on Saturday night because I'm working most Saturday nights. There might be a softball game, another one. But we come together, and it's just a routine where we know this is when we're actually talking as a family, debriefing our day. On a daily rhythm, I have physical exercise. It could be just being on the elliptical and listening to a book on tape. And actually, exercise for me, some of you, it might be work over here. For me, exercise, the kind of exercise I do is resting. It's resting kind of exercise. Yes, I grunt and I sweat, but I'm listening to a book on tape that I enjoy. I'm listening to some other communicator that's building into me, or I'm listening to 1970s butt rock music that I like. I mean, it's good stuff. It's a daily rhythm, or at least 4 or 5 days out of the week. Weekly. I have weekly rhythms. My weekly rhythms from a work standpoint pretty much haven't changed in 17 years. I hit the same nail in the same meetings I had for 17 years. The larger the church has gotten, the more diligent I've gotten on hitting the same work rhythms. I know a lot of people who have similar jobs. They're like hermits. The larger the church gets, they just detach themselves and go out and live wherever and then come into a place like this and give some inspiring message as if God just gave it to them on top of the mountain. Maybe he does. Wonderful. That's not me. I have a rhythmic work week. I had the same basic rhythm for my work week for 17 years. My Wednesdays are still my most fruitful and tiring days, because they're days when the most things, standard meetings that require brain power, are scheduled. Here's what my normal Wednesday looks like. I have prayer from 8:30 to 9. I have staff training from 9 to 10:30. Senior leadership, our staff, we meet from 10:30 to 1. Then from 1:30 to 3, I've got a teaching team meeting where we're strategizing through what are the right teaching topics, what should be said. They're helping with my outline, all that sort of stuff, or I'm helping Chuck, whoever's speaking. And then from 6 to 8 at our house, we have a time we're building into some couples here at Crossroads, discipling them. Or that's canceled if we have last Wednesday like we have this week. And these rhythms, I hit the same over and over. And you have to figure out what it is that will produce a fruitful life for you. What are the meetings? What are the skills? What are the learnings? What are the environments that you need? What are the change-up pitches that you need to experience? And make sure they're reflected in your life, if not daily, if not weekly, then perhaps monthly. I have monthly rhythms. Every month, I want to have at least one night where I'm riding my motorcycle and camping and getting away from wherever. This last month, most recent time, this is a buddy of mine. He and I were out, and this you can see his tree fell over. And he's an awful rider. And he actually, he'll enjoy that comment. He went into this mud, thick mud, and we were stuck there for an hour. We had to actually push the bike over on its side, get sticks from around the forest, stick them underneath the tires, pull it back up. It was hard work. And actually, this was very restful for me, believe it or not. I was sweating, but this for me was so outside of my normal work, which is thought work. So outside that work that when I do that, it is restful for me. And I have monthly rhythms of figuring out exactly what that looks like. My monthly rhythms include trying to not be speaking one weekend out of a month. My basic rhythm is 3 out of 4. It changes sometimes. Sometimes it'll be 2 out of 3. I'm right now doing 5 in a row. But generally speaking, I want a rhythm of 3 on and 1 off. Annually, my values are not reflected daily or weekly or monthly. They have to be extended annually. Annually, major family holidays are together. Annually, I know when I look at my calendar, there's certain seasons of the calendar where I just say to myself, and I might even say to somebody who works with me, I say, look, guess what? Over the next 2 weeks, we don't have any problems. No personal problems, because we can't afford to be talking about personal problems. It is making hay. It is hitting the nail. No problems this next. And I know where those settings are over the month, over that whole year. Annually, I know for me, I take a significant time off in the summer. This summer is going to be a bit different, actually. I'm going to try some different rhythm this summer. Somebody got to try something different. But unless I take a significant amount of time off, and I know people say, gosh, wouldn't it be nice to have 7 weeks off or 8 or 6 or whatever it is. Well, it must be nice. Well, it is nice. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for affording it. It is nice. Thank you for that very, very much. And here's the thing. As I said before, the more fruit you want, the more intentional you have to be about your rest. I have no guilt or shame at all about the fruit that God's producing through my life. And I'm telling you, if I wasn't strategic with a big backswing, I would not have the fruit coming out of my life that's coming out of our lives right here, right now. Now, these are just some examples for us to think through. What would your rhythms be? What are the things that you need to look at annually, monthly, weekly, daily, to actually bring production, bring fruit in your life that you don't have right now, and enable you to abide in God's presence? The important thing is simply to start to identify and go. How many of us in here, I'm just curious, how many of us in here over a week's time could do 50 push-ups? If you could do 50 push-ups over, well, I didn't ask you to clap, but obviously people are excited about that. Raise your hand, wonderful. If you could do 50 push-ups over, some of you are like, you're really weak, or you're refusing to participate, so you must participate. If you could do over a week's time, 50 push-ups in a week. Raise your hand. How many could do 50? Oh, wonderful. Okay, good. I see one guy right here has missing an arm. Sorry, sir, to discriminate against you. If you could... He's not. I'm just totally kidding. I'm sorry. That's one of my rhythms. I offend people. So nonetheless... Now, okay, let me ask you this question. How many of us do 50 push-ups in a week? Actually do 50 push-ups in a week? Okay, a lot less of us. See, the issue is not setting big, massive goals and saying, okay, here's how I'm going to reorient my entire life. It's not it. It's simply taking a step. Because all of us philosophically would say, yeah, I could do 50 push-ups in a week, and that probably would be healthy for me to do 50 push-ups in a week, but the numbers of us that actually do it who wouldn't mind doing it are very slim. So it's not about having a mindset of doing this. It's about turning the corner and taking one step to a rhythmic life. Identify today what that one step might be, and we'll start building on that over the next few weeks. Let me pray for us. God, thank you that you're a God that is not a slave driver. You don't constantly drive us to produce, to perform, to do more, to top what had happened before. But you actually are concerned about us holistically, and you give us patterns that would be healthy. Sabbath rest, festivals, mindsets. And I want your patterns to be reproduced in every life in here. So would you do that, please, God? Would you do something that makes our life more fruitful and actually more restful? Amen.